Exodus chapter number 19.
Exodus 19. Since we read the passage this morning, I want to just read the verses that particularly deal with our thought. Verse number 12, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death." And then over on in the end of the chapter, we find verse number 21 makes reference to this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And then verse 23, "And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it." Verse 24, "And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them," and then moves into chapter 20 where the Ten Commandments are given. And he come out of chapter 19 talking about setting bounds and then goes right into the commandments. In a way, the commandments of God are some of the bounds of God. I'm kindly glad that thou shalt not kill is in the Bible. I'm glad that's a boundary, amen. Amen, that's right. People that don't pay attention to that, though, they overstep that bound and people dies. Amen. All right, let's bow for prayer and you'll be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask you one more time, Lord, you'd help me, that, Lord, you'll do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that you'll speak to us and through us. Give us wisdom, give us insight, help us to have discernment and direction, Lord, as to what you would have us to say in these moments together. And, Lord, what you do for us, God, we'll thank you and give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned this morning, as I was reading through the book of Exodus some time ago, and when I come into chapter number 19, I was reading through these verses, and when I got to the verse number 12, and I saw the word "set bounds," and that's the Lord speaking to Moses, "And thou shalt set bounds unto thy people round about." And the first thing that came in my mind was that bounds are God's idea. Setting boundaries and having lines and borders and things in our life is God's idea. And it's for our benefit. And amen, I'm glad of that. And so that's one of the first thoughts that came to my mind when I saw that. And then I continued reading and I found it came up again in verse 23 about setting bounds about the mount and sanctifying it. And so the Lord began to speak it to my heart. And I mentioned this morning. The Lord's put this thought in my mind that spirituality has bounds, but carnality has no bounds. And the carnality is the flesh life. That's the worldly life. That's the Egyptian life, if you will, is in our text. But the spirituality has bounds. And your attitude toward bounds and boundaries and limitations and lines and restrictions and such as that will tell a lot about your desire to be spiritual. If you got a spirit of rebellion in you toward bounds that God has set up and boundaries and lines and restrictions and so forth in the Bible, then you'll probably never be the spiritual person that God really wants you to be. But if you look at boundaries in the Bible as these are for me, these are a plus, these are not negative, these are for my good, and it's God's idea. That right there in itself ought to be sufficient for you and I to say, well, praise the Lord for boundaries. God help me to stay where I'm supposed to stay. Honor the boundaries that are set forth in the Word of God. And there's a lot that we said this morning that that doesn't need to be repeated. The first thing I want to share with you tonight, and I'm preaching on blessed boundaries. Boundaries are a blessing. They are a blessing to us. Amen. And we used several illustrations this morning to kind of support that idea, but they are a blessing to us. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is, and share with you, is there was at least three that I seen, a cause of reason. The cause of reason. In other words, when God said in verse 12, set the bounds unto the people round about, he had a reason for that. And that would help us. Would it not help us tonight when we realize when God says thou shalt or thou shalt not, or God gives commandments, or God says things to us that is in the form of a boundary, that you and I would consider, you know, God has a reason for that. God has a reason for that. And usually it's, and as presented here, it's for our best. The three things that I noticed in this chapter, chapter 19, in verse number 9, the first reason of setting boundaries is found in verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. So the first reason that God gives boundaries is so that the people can hear from God. If you'll notice, he says to Moses, when I'm speaking to you, I want the people to be able to hear me speak to you. Now, where are they at? They're there inside the boundaries. In other words, God sets up the boundaries where the people can hear God speak. Amen. So God sets up boundaries not to deafen you or to where you can't hear, but so that you can hear. And if I honor boundaries in my life, it really fine-tunes my life to where I can hear God speak. And so that was the first thing that stuck out to me. And also look at verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. Now, I don't know how much distance was between where Moses was speaking to God and God speaking to Moses and where the people were, but it indicates here that the people were able to hear. The people were able to listen in. Amen. And I was going to mention this morning, God speaking to Moses is good. And what the people heard God speak to Moses, they heard the same thing. So when the preacher came, Moses came, and told what that God was saying, that's the same thing the people was hearing. You know what would help us, I believe? I'm talking about as a church. Is it the same thing God speaks to me about, he speaks to you about? That there would just be one voice, but all of our ears would hear the same voice. Amen. So that's the first reason. Second reason is found in verse number 11. And be ready against the day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. He said the first thing was, I want you to be able to hear God. But here in this verse, verse 11, and also in verse 20, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. The second reason for bounds is that you might see into the spiritual realm, that you might see. They didn't see the literal presence of God, because God is a spirit, amen? You can't see a spirit. But they saw the cloud, and they heard the thundering, and they saw all that was going on the mountain. So the second thing, the reason for boundaries is that we might see. That we might see God. Moses saw him who was invisible, the Bible says. I'm amazed how many people don't seemingly have any insight into spiritual things. But I've seen that when I'm in the boundaries of God that He wants in my life, that it enables me to be able to see, have some spiritual vision. Amen. Not crazy things, not off the wall, hallucinations, but be able to see. And then verse number 17 gives us our third reason for setting bounds. Verse number 17, I'll read it. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. So there it is. There's the boundaries are so that we can meet with God. Now think about it. Boundaries are lines and restrictions and limitations. To cross those boundaries is to sin. And you're not going to meet with God if you sin, if you've got sin in your life. And we have, there's verses that prove that. So let's move on. I want to try to get on down to where I want to go. There is the cause of reason. Number two, there's the choice of responsibility, verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, here it is, listen, here's the responsibility. Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. So what is happening in this verse is that God is putting the responsibility on the people to stay away from the boundaries. Don't cross the boundaries. In fact, he said in that verse, don't even touch the border. Don't go up to the mount. Don't touch the border. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. So why do you think that God said don't touch the border? I think some of them was hanging around pretty close to it. To me, with that kind of a consequence, I don't think it'd be wise to hang around the border. I think it'd be wise to stay a good ways away from the border. That's right, away from the boundaries. So he said to them, take heed to yourselves. That is, it's your responsibility to honor the things set up in the Bible, the guidelines set up in the Bible, the lines, the restrictions, the limitations, the borders that are set up in the Bible. It's your responsibility to stay away from those. Amen. That's right. All failure is attached to a responsibility failure. That's exactly right. Don't cross the line because your family and friends maybe have crossed the line. You have to be careful in that area. As others cross the line that maybe that are kin to you or close to you or whatever, make sure that you have enough personal responsibility and conviction to where you would say, you know what, I'm not crossing that line. I'm not crossing that line, amen? So he says, take heed to yourselves that you go not up unto the mount there in verse number 12. Don't cross the boundaries. Look at verse number 21 and verse 24 in this chapter. Verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And then look at verse number 24. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests of the people break through. Break through the boundaries, break through that line that is established, lest they break through to come up to the unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And I wanted to point out something in this verse of scripture right here about the breaking through, that statement, breaking through. I looked that up. That word means to break through. To break forth, it means to pull down or to pull into pieces, to break down, beat down, destroy, or to ruin. That's what breakthrough. Now watch this. This got big to me. God set up the boundaries, told Moses to put boundaries around the mount. But then he says, the people, and I'm inserting this because it does show that it's possible, they can break through the boundary. They can break through the boundary. Not without penalty, not without a consequence, but they can break through the boundary. If you want to make a choice in your life to go and cross God's boundaries, you can do that. Not without regret and not without penalty and without consequence, but you can. You can go against all the preaching you've ever heard. You can go against all parental instruction that you've ever heard. You can go against that if you want to make the choice. But it will be with great consequence. That's exactly right. So the second thing we're looking at here is the choice of responsibility. Now, do you remember the definition I just gave you about that breaking through? Where it says in verse 21, lest they break through unto the Lord. Means to break down. It means to destroy, pull down, break in pieces. What happens to a boundary that's pulled down and broken to pieces? What happens to the boundary for the next generation? What happens to the boundaries for those that's coming along after you? If you break down the boundary, cross the lines, then your children doesn't have a boundary to go by. If preachers crosses the boundaries in their ministry, they're certainly not going to preach anything about boundaries. And then what do you have? You have people that doesn't think there are any boundaries in life. My goodness. You think about that. That's really a lot of people in churches, that they live like there's no boundaries because the preacher don't ever preach them. Look at this right here. I saw this. I actually saw this afternoon. Verse number 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze. You see what's happening right there? What is taking place right there is the Lord saw people getting close to the boundaries. And guess what God did? God sent the messenger with a message to go tell the people. Do you think God's still doing that? When God sees that people are getting close to getting out, they're getting close to crossing the line in some areas in their life, do you think God is going to send a messenger with a message of warning and caution in that? No doubt. But where are those preachers? Where are those preachers in our day? Throughout the Bible, And you know this, throughout the Bible, God notoriously would send prophets and preachers and messengers to people with a message that addressed the sin of the people. But you don't see none of that much anymore. And what's happening, though, that is helping the preacher be popular, but it's causing the people to not know there's boundaries. And so they're going to cross boundaries and not even have a word. They're not even going to have a message. Because the preacher is maybe more interested in popularity than he is preservation of the people. See, Moses knew what the penalty was going to be if they crossed the boundaries. And Moses loved the people to the point that he was willing to declare that negative message about staying away from the boundaries. But you can make a choice in your life to cross boundaries if you want to. You'll regret it, no doubt. The best choice is to never get close to the boundaries because you'll never cross boundaries that you do not first get close to. You'll never cross boundaries, biblical boundaries in your life, biblical lines, biblical guidelines. You'll never cross them until first you get close. And I believe verse number 21 indicates that the people was looking like they were going to cross the boundaries, and God sent Moses back down and said, go tell the people, go down there and charge the people lest they break through. They're getting too close to the boundaries. That's not a good safe place to be, being close to the boundaries. So we've noticed that. Number three, quickly. There is, in verse 13, verse 21, and verse 24, there is the charge of restriction. That's what I wrote down, the charge of restriction. And I've already read verse 21 and verse 24. Verse 13, we'll read it. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. There's restrictions of a part of the Christian life. I mentioned this morning, and I'm not going to re-preach that, but I mentioned this morning how that a lot of people think that grace, just the subject of grace, encourages and allows and condones loose living. But it doesn't. There's restrictions in the Christian life. There's boundaries in the Christian life. And I said something in prayer this morning, closing the service. Boundaries are not bondage. A lot of people equating boundaries to be bondage. Well, preacher, I'm not going to get into that, all of that do's and don'ts stuff. And I'm not going to get into that where there's restrictions and where there's rules and where there's guidelines. I'm not getting into that. Why? Why would a person be afraid of boundaries that are set up by God? Amen? And so, listen, it's not bondage. If you want to talk about bondage, here's where we need to go to talk about bondage. That's the Egyptian life. Egypt's always a type of the world. Always a type of the world. So the Egyptian life is where the bondage is at. It's not walking with God. It's not doing what God says. That's not where the bondage is. Amen. The bondage is when you're in underneath the control of Egypt. That's where the bondage is at. Amen. But bounds and boundaries, as I said earlier, is God's idea. God set up those boundaries. Here's why. He set up those boundaries because he knows about our fleshly tendencies. If you don't get nothing else, I want you to get that. God set up that boundary because he knew the fleshly tendency of the people. He knew that those people would break through wanting to gaze upon the Lord. He knew that those people would budge the boundaries and cross the boundaries just because their flesh has a tendency to do so. So God knows the actions of the flesh. He knows the appetite of the flesh. He knows what you would be willing to do in the flesh. And he sets up boundaries to keep your flesh in check. That's right. The boundaries are not for the spiritual. Even Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then he said, against such there's no law. You don't have to have a police officer for somebody that's filled with the Spirit. Why is the boundaries then? Your flesh, my flesh, and your flesh and mine is wicked still. It's not saved. It's not saved, no. That's right. And so there's boundaries, amen? So he sets up boundaries, one, because he knows about our fleshly tendencies and weaknesses, and he knows about our fleshly wickedness. He knows that. He sets up boundaries also because what he deserves out of his people. He deserves the best out of his people. And those boundaries encouraged the best. Amen. When you're living according to God's word, that's you're giving God what he deserves. You're giving God what he deserves. Amen. He set up boundaries because God knows about the divine future plans that he has for his people. God knows where he's taking you. And he knows how beneficial boundaries are in your life presently because he knows out in the future where he's taking you. So he's got a reason. So there's the charge of restriction. And then in our text, there is the consequences of regret. Chapter 19, verse 12. I'm not going to reread those. I've already read those. Verse 12 and 13. It shows that there's a high cost to crossing the boundaries. There's a high penalty of crossing the boundaries, God's boundaries. In verse number, look at this. Let's see, that's verse 12 and 13, verse 21. We've already read that verse multiple times, but the Lord talked about those that break through, talking about breaking through the boundaries. The Bible talks about that they would perish. There's a high cost to crossing God's boundary lines. Amen. All right, listen to this. Verse 24, of course, makes that clear as well. Those that break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he, that is God, break forth upon them. You should not want to break through the lines, break through the boundaries, because God can break forth on you. And I don't want that, and you don't either. Amen. But let me just ask you this, and these are just some areas that the Lord spoke to my heart about. To ask us tonight, do we have any boundaries? God has boundaries in these areas. The first one is morals. You can't read this King James Bible without coming to the clear conclusion that God has set up moral boundaries. I mean, all through the Old Testament, New Testament, all the way through, you find that God has set up moral boundaries. Moral boundaries goes against everything immoral. It goes against sexual immorality. Amen. We are living in a country that is quickly becoming loose and in every area. And that there are no boundaries. You don't have to live in America alone to know that our country is quickly becoming that country that condones everything that God condemns. Amen. I mean, God has set up the guidelines about sexual purity and sexual morality. And you never find him condoning immorality in that area. I mean, he goes through the guidelines that in the scripture that sexuality is within the bonds of matrimony. Premarital and extramarital relationships is forbidden in the scripture. Amen. It's still right. It is still right for a girl and a boy to wait until they go to the marriage altar and commit themselves to their husband or wife, amen, in this area, and to them only. It's still right. I know you don't hear that preached much. I dealt with a pastor, or I talked to a pastor not long ago, and he was talking about having to take a stand in his church. There was sin in his church. There was fornication in his church. There was sexual immorality in his church. And he made the move to deal with it. He made a move to confront it biblically. And you know who got mad? And he ended up leaving. He ended up having to leave. The parents. And the friends. Buddy and pals. That's wicked. That's wicked right there. And he ended up leaving the church. Had to leave the church because they wouldn't follow him. They wouldn't. Listen, if you side with sin, I'm done. If you condone sin and we're not, this is my child. Preacher, we're not dealing with them about sin. Is that helping them or hurting them? Let me ask you something. In that same scenario I just presented, do you think that mom and daddy that got mad at God's man for coming down and dealing with the crossing of boundaries in the moral area, do you think they had parental boundaries? Absolutely not. In fact, if truth was known, they probably knew what was going on. Should have sided with God's man and God's word, more importantly. They should have sided with God's word and said, you know what? You have sinned. You went outside the boundaries of God's word concerning sexual morality, and there's a penalty for that. There's going to be church discipline for that. And as parents, there should be parental discipline for that. Say amen right there in some way. Instead of getting a poochie lip and getting mad at God's man and rebuking him and amen, influencing the church to stand against him. That's wicked right there. There's no way God will bless that church. Siding with sin, encouraging it. But the Bible's not silent about sexual purity. Amen. You can't let America, with its music and movies and role models, you can't let them establish the standard of what is right and what is wrong. You can't do that because they're living in it. They just go from one partner and one mate, one this to another one. You say, preach, you shouldn't talk like that. This is church. Oh, you listen to worse than that on the radio, amen. Disney Channel projects things far worse than what I'm saying. They, in fact, condone sexual immorality in our day. Walt Disney would roll over in his grave if he knew the direction that his legacy has went. That's right. Who would have ever thought? I'm not trying to get off color here, but who would have ever thought that we would live right here in America, friend, to where that it's dangerous for women to even use a public restroom because you don't know if a man's in there, a pervert. That it's offensive to tell a man that he's a man. That it's offensive. That you're not supposed to use the masculine pronouns even when talking to babies and children. You're to not use his and her and him and she. And you're not to do that because you don't know if she's a she or a him or a herm or a it. Why? We're in a perverted world. God has boundaries set up in his Bible. Amen against that. He has boundaries set up in the Bible that sexuality is for the inside the bonds of matrimony between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. Amen, that's right. But our country is for everything else, amen. In fact, if you believe what I just said about that biblical standard, you're the weirdo. Amen. But if that's what it is, then that's what it is. I plead guilty. If you want to call me weird or whatever, at least I'm going to be within the boundaries of God's word. That's right. I mean, if anything goes now in our day. And it's coming in. Listen, it's creeping into churches. And I know we're being live streamed, but I can't help it. I don't care. It's coming into churches. Amen. Condoning, not only condoning, but putting sodomites and in the place of leadership. Are you listening? I'm talking about even voting them in as preachers and leaders. I'm going to tell you right now, a parent that will let their children, amen, or daddy, the spiritual leader in the home, take their child, their family, their wife and family to a church that's got a pervert in the pulpit, they're nuts. That's right. That's right. God's word's very clear, very clear. It's not cloudy. It's very clear that God has established the order of morals concerning sexuality. Amen. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know that. You've heard that. Amen. It's still an abomination to God, and it's so clearly shown and declared that in the Bible. Amen. When a woman lays with a woman as with a man, and a man lays with a man as with a woman, it is an abomination in the sight of God. And it will attract judgment from on high. It's very clear. Amen. It's perverted. It's perverted. Amen. That's right. And they can say whatever they want to. You look at the reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, friend. I know they had pride issues. You know, one of the minor prophets reveals that. But he destroyed that place because of sodomy. Yes, sir, buddy. And if you want to know the real nature of that, you study that in, what is it, Genesis 18? And 19 right there about Sodom and Gomorrah. Buddy, those people are aggressive. They're a militant. They don't care nothing about nothing except having their own wicked desires gratified. Amen. There's moral boundaries in the Bible, and you should never cross them. And people's crossing them all the time. Amen. And I believe this, and I said this a few Sundays ago. You know when you're fixing to cross a boundary. It won't be, oh man, I didn't know that was a boundary. No, no. You know when you're getting, because listen, even if you're not saved, there's a conscience in you that when you start getting close to a boundary that you're getting ready to cross, amen, you're going to know I shouldn't do that. You ought to know that's wrong. And parents, make sure that you set forth that standard in your home to where your children, at least they know not to do that. Amen. So anyway, there's moral boundaries in the Bible. And morality is deeper and much wider of a subject than we could possibly deal with in one service. I'm amazed how many people that claim to be saved that don't even focus on morals. I promise you this is true. If you're not moral, you are not spiritual. Say amen right there. You think spirituality? And we don't have that problem here, I guess, because maybe I preach on it every once in a while and try to show you that line. Hey, that line is still here. God hasn't pulled it down. It's still here. It's still wrong. Or it's still right, whatever the case is. And I think God's men ought to be doing that. I believe that. Amen. God's people ought to know what the boundaries are in their life, what the Bible teaches. Why? Because the man of God is preaching it. It's not easy. It's not popular. I don't get any points for it. In fact, I usually get problems for it. But I thought, as the young people, Miss Debbie, sung in the choir a few minutes ago about how that God has kept them safe thus far. And you know what went through my mind, Brother Ivan, as I heard these young people sing that? And I've watched their life for years, and I've watched God do a work in them, and I've watched them mature to, you know, spiritual young men and young ladies. You know what I thought? And this is no toot, no horn of RBT. We give all the glory to Jesus, but I'll tell you what, where would these young people be if they hadn't been preached to? Boundaries of the Bible. You'll never convince me that that's not had something to do with it. And not just that, but parents, you know, showing their children these lines and these boundaries, and, you know, hey, you're not doing that. That's right. Amen. I mean, our kids, listen, our youth choir, the kids of our church, they could be as worldly as anybody else. And if you don't think worldliness is a plague among this generation, all you have to do is either go to another church or just watch their live stream and look at it. It's unbelievable. I wouldn't go there 2 minutes. I wouldn't go to those churches 2 minutes. And it's not because I'm better than them. I just know that I'm not going to a church that I'm not going to get challenged. I want to be challenged to go to a higher level spiritually than what I am. I don't want to go to a church that's going to condone things that I'm against. I don't want to do that. But anyway, there's moral boundaries. There's modesty boundaries. There's modesty boundaries. That's taught in, clearly in the Scripture. Clearly in the Scripture. I want you to turn to Exodus 28. Yeah, Exodus 28. Exodus 28. And there's a verse in Isaiah as well. We can maybe give that to you a little later on. But chapter number 28, verse number 42. Isaiah 47 is that verse in those verses in Isaiah. If you want to just write those down, Isaiah 47, verse 3 and 4. And I was reading through Exodus and I saw this and I made some notes in my Bible about it. About what is nakedness? What is nakedness in the Bible? There's guidelines about that. You do know that, don't you? But anyway, here is the principle given. I know it's talking about Aaron and the priestly garments and all that. But I want you to look in verse 42 of Exodus 28. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. How many sees that? God says, I want you to cover their nakedness. What is nakedness? Look what it goes on to say. From the loins even under the thighs they shall reach. Do you see that? The thigh starts at the knee. Last time I checked. In the same verse that it talks about the importance of the loins being covered because that's nakedness, the same verse attaches the thigh in there with it. Amen. I believe I can say it right there plainly. Anything above the knee is nakedness. Anything above the knee is nakedness. That's a principle right there. You probably hadn't never heard that because I'd never seen that. That never stuck out to me. And you can read Isaiah 47, verse 3 and 4, where it shows there that the thigh is considered nakedness. But there's moral standards concerning modesty. Parents ought to encourage their children to be modest. You can't dress them immodest when they're little and then try to change them when they get older because they've done got used to it. Here's another area. There's boundaries about your mind, your thought life. We're told how to think in the Bible. We're told what to think. Whatsoever things are true and honest and pure and of good report and all that. Think on these things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's boundaries in your mind. Listen, pay attention to your thought life. Did you know you can have a corrupt thought life and nobody else will know it? Be responsible. Everybody be responsible about your mind, what you let yourself think about. Because your thinking and your living goes together. If you think it long enough, it won't be long till it will become action. There's boundaries concerning your mind. Number four, there's boundaries concerning your mouth. When Paul deals with sin throughout his epistles, a lot of times he would deal with speaking sins. He would speak about sins of the mouth, you know, slander and criticism and such as that. May God help us to know that there's boundaries in the Bible. Let your speech, let your conversation always be seasoned with salt. Let it be as becometh the gospel of Christ. God's people should have boundaries. You should have boundaries. I should have boundaries in my life concerning my mouth. Words that I have got boundaries in my life that I'm not going to say. I'm not going to tell no dirty joke. I'm not going to use no foul language. Why? I've got boundaries in my life about that. I believe the Bible tells us very plainly that the words of our mouth, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. I believe our words and things we say should stay within the boundaries of God's word. Young people, listen. Make sure you stay within the boundaries of God's word concerning your mouth when you're talking to your mom and daddy. Are you listening? I had a mother tell me not long ago, and y'all don't know nothing about this, but it don't matter. But listen, she says that her child's back talks her, sasses her. Everything that she tells her to do or not to do, it ends up in an argument because the child is always saying, well, why? Why? Well, pick that up. Well, why? Go clean your room. Why? I said, and I'm no professional on it for sure. The further I go, the less I know. I told that mother, I said, you should never argue with your child over that. If she wants to argue, well, why? You know what that's doing? Give me a reason. Here's the reason. Mama said do it or don't do it or whatever it is. That's the only reason you need. Well, why? Of course, I could probably have introduced her to another phase of that conversation. Well, if you don't, we're going to go back here and have prayer in the bedroom, and you're going to do most of the praying. Son, my daddy, buddy, he wouldn't put up with that. I back-talked him one time, buddy. That was all it took. Son, I guarantee it, buddy, he laid me out. You said, you pass out, did you get knocked out? No, I just wished that would have happened. Son, I back-talked, I still remember it to this day, and that's been many moons ago. I back-talked and sassed him, buddy. And I mean, within a half a second, son, he just backhanded me right across the mouth. And I had my mouth open when he done that. And it knocked my chin like that. And I mean, I was talking out of the side of my face for a long time. There ought to be some boundaries in your life about how, with your mouth. Things you say, things you talk about, things you laugh about. You should have boundaries. And I already dealt with this morning, just go on. There's boundaries in your marriage. You ought to have boundaries in your marriage, things that you're not going to do. You're not going to cross those boundaries in your marriage. Amen? When a temptation rises or somebody else, you know, is a playing for your attention, you ought to just go ahead and establish in your heart, I'm married. I'm married. I'm not crossing that boundary. I'm not going there. Amen? You start entertaining the thought, next thing you know, you'll start liking them little sweet nothings that they're saying. Oh, if I was your wife, I'd be this. Or if I was your husband, next thing you know, you'll start having an interest. Best thing to do is nip it in the, what'd you say the other night? Nip it in the bud right off the bat, Brother Ivan said. Just nip it and say, no, that's a boundary. I'm married, I belong to one. Amen. That's right. And just don't flirt around with those other options. And I promise you, we're in a promiscuous world and a country that there's always going to be options. Everybody establish in your heart and life, I'm going to have boundaries in my marriage. Amen. That's good. That's good preaching anyhow. Have boundaries with your money. There's biblical boundaries all through the Bible about money and the proper way and use of spending it or making it even. Amen. What about ministry? There should be boundaries in the ministry. You ought to have everybody in here, you ought to be involved in ministry. God never saves anybody that what he doesn't have a ministry for you. He has a purpose for you. You have a gift. Everybody that's saved has at least one gift of the Spirit, at least one. And that gift of the Spirit is your ministry. As you use that gift to edify the body of Christ and bring glory to Jesus. But if you're not careful, you'll set up boundaries. You'll set up boundaries in your life. The first one that I thought about this morning was Moses, early in Exodus, tried to set up a boundary that God didn't set up. When God started calling him in chapter 4, when God started calling him in chapter number 4, guess what Moses responded to the call by saying? I can't talk. I'm not eloquent and neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? He said, now therefore, go and I will be with thy mouth. Moses was trying to set up a boundary that God didn't set up. I can't preach, I can't serve God because I can't talk. You have to be careful in that right there of setting up boundaries that God never set up. Amen? What about Jeremiah? Chapter 1 of Jeremiah. You know what Jeremiah did? He tried to set up a boundary that God didn't set up concerning ministry. When God called Jeremiah as a young boy, guess what Jeremiah said? I can't. I'm young. I'm just a child. He was using that, Brother Carroll, as an excuse to not serve. He was using that as an excuse not to serve. What about the Israelites? I'm right now done. Listen. What about the Israelites? When God led them on further and it was time to cross over Jordan and they wanted to send the spies into the land to check it out. And they came back. There was 12 of them went over, one out of each tribe. They come back divided. 10 of them with one voice saying, we can't do it. And two, Joshua and Caleb come back and said, we can do it. What was the boundary for the 10 saying, we can't do it? Giants, walled cities, we're not able. But what God said, you can. Everywhere the sole of your feet trod, I'm going to give that to you. But there's giants over there. They set up boundaries and they did not go in and accomplish and inhabit the place that God wanted them to have it because they set up boundaries that wasn't supposed to be. A lot of people are not doing the will of God because they're setting up boundaries that they're not supposed to set up. I can't do that. I can't go. That's not comfortable or whatever. But they come back and said, we're not able to. There's giants and walled cities and all that over there. All the Anakims is over there. And they were setting up boundaries. There are boundaries in the ministry, but just make sure they're biblical. Boundaries in music, the area of music. I believe one of the devil's chief things is music. He led the choir, so to speak, in heaven. He was the chief cherub in heaven. Listen, did you know this? Let's think about this now. Did you know that music is the only thing on planet Earth that wasn't created here? Music. It was born in heaven. It was born in heaven. And the devil was the chief leader, Brother Craig, in heaven. And of course, he fell and influenced a lot of the angels to fall with him. And he uses music unlike anything else. It's probably his evangelistic tool. If he can get you to listen to corrupt music and things that does not build you up spiritually, that does not encourage you spiritually, that is against your spiritual life, that encourages carnality, he'll be able to work anything else in your life that he wants to. It's important that you have boundaries set up in your life about what music you're going to listen to. People's not going to, listen kids, young people, your mom and dad is not going to be with you 24/7. Your mom and dad's not going to be around you all the time and say, don't listen to that and you shouldn't listen to this and you shouldn't listen to that. You ought to have a boundary in your own life. I'm not going to listen to that. If it don't fall in the heading of Ephesians 5, verse number 19, you shouldn't listen to it. As a believer, you shouldn't listen to it. God dealt with me early in my Christian life. I mean, I hadn't been saved but just a few days and God dealt with me about the music, my music that I listened to. And I cleaned it out then, and I've never had to throw it away since because I never bought no more and I never had no more. You're welcome to go down to my car right now and look at the CDs that are in there and turn the radio on. You'll not find no trashy garbage. Why? I made a boundary of that music when I got saved just a few days after that. I destroyed all that I had. I had boundaries. God worked that in me. Amen. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's the kind of music you and I are to be listening to, that which is called, it would be spiritual music. Spiritual music. Amen. Scriptural music. And that's not popular, but I'll tell you, it'll help you spiritually. It's almost 100% of the time, Brother Mark, when I deal with people, when I talk to people, they're wanting me to talk to them, you know, far as counsel or whatever, and they're having a hard time and all that. Never fails when I ask them, tell me what music you listen to. Tell me about your music, what you listen to. Never fails. They listen to all kind of stuff. No wonder they're defeated. No wonder they're, you know, always up and down, in and out. I need all the help I can get myself. I need all the help I can get. And listening to good spiritual music, just like Miss Teresa, when I walked in on her today, she was listening to, I don't remember who it was, but I mean, she had her hand up, and she had it turned up loud, so I'm sure all the nurses could hear it too. It'll help you if you'll learn to set up boundaries in your life, biblical boundaries about what kind of music to listen to. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you for being here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to get in our Bibles and Lord, just look through and study and find out what these different and various guidelines are concerning our practical life, boundaries concerning our practical life. I know we're in a day when, Lord, when there's very little preaching done about that because it's not popular and people certainly don't want to hear it, don't want to abide by it, don't want to listen to that. And my flesh don't like it, but I know that I need it. My flesh has tendencies, as we all do, and you gave those boundaries for that reason in our text. Because you knew their tendency that once they saw the cloud and the fire and the lightning and all of that on the mountain, that they had a tendency to ignore the boundary, break through it, and run up the mountain, which would have been the worst thing ever. Lord, I want to thank you that your boundaries are not tight. We have no room to enjoy life. Lord, I thought about even the children of Israel. Lord, you laid out the guidelines and the boundaries of the area that you gave to Abraham and his seed. And Lord, it was huge. And I don't think the Israelites occupied but maybe 10% of it. Adam and Eve in the garden, they had all so much that they could do and enjoy. But they only had one boundary, just one, of what not to do. And they fail in that area. Lord, help us to know that when you teach us to stay away from something, it is for our good. And that you know best. Lord, I guess that this message is fitting after coming out of youth camp. How to keep our fire, how to stay where we need to be is to not cross your boundaries. To just make it a definite, something that we're not even going to consider crossing any boundaries that we're told not to. We're going to try to stay right with God that you may use us for your glory. Lord, please help me. I want to finish my course with joy. I really do. But I know that there have been preachers, Lord, that's been much further down the road than I, spiritually and in ministry, and they crossed boundaries. They crossed some moral boundaries and ended up shipwrecked. Lord, I don't want that. Help me, Lord, I pray, to value your boundaries. Lord, I pray you'll help parents, help us as parents here in the church to to not be mean about it, but to definitely let our children know that God's word has boundaries in it about pretty much any facet of life. And help the young people to not be rebellious about it. And to know that it may not be popular, and all their friends may have already crossed those boundaries, but Lord, please help them to be responsible themselves to stay within your guidelines. And they'll be glad they did. They'll be glad they did. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.